I'm Spike McGuire from Loudest Folk. Thank you on behalf of the museum for coming out. Thank you to 97.7 FM KWNK for live broadcasting the event every month. And of course, thank you to our sponsors, Tesla, Great Basin, and Northern Nevada Regional MLS. So we've got something very special now, a tribute to one of the people who was integral in starting this event so many years ago. So I'd like to introduce now, this is Bruce Van Dyke's daughter, Katie. Please, a warm welcome.
Thank you guys so much for being here. It's really crazy to see the turnout. It's really amazing. I just have a couple of things to say. My dad was insanely important to me, but it is really beautiful to see how important he was to everybody here and to Sparks and Reno and Northern Nevada. Thank you for coming to remember my father and to recognize his contributions to Northern Nevada. To be honest, I don't think that was ever his goal, to make an impact. He was much more motivated by the love of the craft, by the love of word, of communication, and of music. Though large in scale, his legacy, once you zoom in, is much more just a life of daily practice. One day stacked one on top of the other, one article or show at a time over decades. He was crafting the puzzle pieces, not crafting the puzzle. But in the end, they fit together to create a career of meaning and influence. Despite my close relationship with my father, or perhaps in spite of it, this perspective on crafting an impactful life had evaded me until recently. In the soul-searching naivete of my younger years, I had figured people set goals, set their eyes on the prize, and then do what's needed to cross the finish line. But the reality is people don't craft meaning with the goal of creating a legacy or making a name for themselves, despite what young boss jocks might think when they first get the big gig at KOZZ. They do it one day at a time. They do it by waiting in the middle, in between the start and the end, by waking up at 4:30 a.m. every day and walking outside in the crunchy, stale snow towards their truck to embark on the dark daily drive to the studio, by making a cup of black coffee and sitting down with random notes of the events of the night before and of the day as it progresses, by meeting listeners at the Monday Night Football remote, by sorting through the small towers of promo CDs on the desk to find a sound that surprises someone out there. They do it by crafting small moments of meaning for others. And people responded in kind. The relationship between Bruce Van Dyke and Reno was reciprocal. As the hundreds of listener letters found in his garage would suggest, the audience kept his station alive more than once. And ex-staff returned the favor, sending their gratitude via deep cuts and eclectic energy. I've had so many interactions with people around town recently who have shared small moments and memories of my father. From the plumber my husband randomly called to fix a leaky toilet, to the owners of the hot tub repair shop who made him take a moment of silence, to the appraiser of his house. All of these tiny daily interactions. Yet once they add up, they depict someone connected to their community, both on and off the airwaves. I asked him once why he settled in Reno. Having recently come to my knees at the altar of the desert landscape, I was expecting some romantic answer steeped in spirit and thought. Instead, he said, "I didn't choose to settle. It just happened. You do a job, the job becomes a career, you make friends, it just becomes your life, and you just stay." Okay, I thought, not really the decisive, sweeping response I was hoping for. But then he added, "I will say I never really needed to live around trees. They block the view. They get in way of the sky." I now know what he really meant by all of that. He loved Reno. Each day held him here. Each day added one more reason to stay. Each day allowed him to see the sky unimpeded. Thank you for keeping him here.
Katie, Also, thank you, Steve Funk, for basically planning this. I did not plan this. He did, and it means a lot that he has friends like this who care so much.
That means an awful lot coming from somebody who is an expert when it comes to event planning. But I got to say, I didn't have that much to do with this. You know, Amy and Nikki and Rebecca and everybody here at this museum where Bruce, he just had this idea about what we should do when they opened the new museum. And so he sent us out to get it done, and we did. And so this thing has been happening for years. And, you know, he founded it, and that's why we're here. So that's a lovely thing. We're only going to take a few minutes before the music gets back, and I want to introduce a couple of other speakers. Frank, you want to take your turn at the mic?
Sure.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Frank Mullen. He is the publisher of the Reno News and Review.
In 1993, when Larry Henry and two partners started what was then the Nevada Weekly, which was the forerunner of the Reno News and Review, I was a reporter at the Reno Gazette Journal. And myself and the other reporters there wished the News and Review well, but we knew it was an incredibly risky enterprise starting a periodical, even back then. You had to build an audience, and then you've got to get enough advertisers so that a weekly is sustainable week by week. We figured they'd be broke within 5 months. We figured there's no way they can start from scratch and not have deep pockets and make this work. But as Larry Henry told me recently, he had a secret weapon. Larry said, Bruce was the jet fuel who got us off the ground in the early days. He brought instant credibility because of his popularity in town. He was our Herb Cain and Jimmy Breslin, a popular columnist whose name alone attracted a lot of readers to the paper. Beyond that, he was a great writer and very professional in his approach to the weekly task. His copy was always on time, always lively, and always interesting. He was extremely important to making this paper work. Notes from Neon Babylon was often running just about every week. Longtime Reno News and Review editor Brian Burkhart worked with Bruce for many years, and Brian, who lives in Mexico now, told me that Bruce was a brilliant, curmudgeon-y, funny, deadline-busting enemy of the Associated Press style. But God help you if you edited an error into his copy. He always checked the published version of his column. He was a great columnist. He also often talked about things like alopecia that were better kept under his hat. But then he withheld things like lymphoma, not only because he knew writing about bad things gives them power, but because he didn't want the pity of strangers. He had a rich and complicated private life, even though he basically lived on stage. Words that come to mind, Brian said, when I think of Bruce, authentic, innovative, brave, tall, funny, insightful, aware, free, creative. He had a great voice, both orally and in print. And Bruce, by the way, was also a teacher. When Rick Sorensen, who is here tonight, he was a former entertainment PR guy at Harrah's. He always was bringing rock stars over to the radio station for Bruce to interview. Rick came up with the idea of having a rock and roll class, rock and roll history, and Bruce was his first choice to teach it. When he presented the idea to Bruce, Bruce said, well, I could do 8 weeks on the Beatles or 8 weeks just on the Rolling Stones. And Rick told me that Bruce proved to be an ideal instructor, knowledgeable, funny, serious about the subject, and just a tad profane. Bruce wasn't an academic, but he knew his rock and roll history inside and out. He taught two classes for us on the psychedelic rock era, which he entitled Welcome to Wonderland, and a 10-week class on the Beatles, a complete history. His final class at TMCC was a survey of 8 classic rock albums from artists including Joni Mitchell, John Lennon, The Grateful Dead, Rolling Stones, and King Crimson. His students ranged in age from baby boomers to millennials, and he always left them wanting more. His class enrollments still stand as the highest attendance for any DMCC community education class. He got glowing reviews from all his students. When the pandemic hit in 2020, the Newsom Review, which after 30 years still didn't have deep pockets, went out of print. Bruce could be cynical, but he had high hopes for the nation's reaction to the pandemic. His innate optimism was showing. In what he thought was the last edition of the Newsom Review, at least their print issue, and in his last Neon Babylon column, he wrote, "So now we enter the flatten the curve era." Okay, cool. It's like the classic old sci-fi story from Astonishing Tales, where the people of Earth are all crazy with war and killing each other, and then the Martians attack. We Earthlings all suck it up and band together to repel and defeat the invaders. I've long been comfortable with the thought that pretty much nothing could ever again unite our fractured country, even a little bit. And then somebody in China ate a freaking bat. Wacky, he says. I came out of retirement a few weeks later to help keep the Reno News and Review alive online. And I was going to do it for a few months until the pandemic was over. I needed a secret weapon really fast, and you'll never guess who I called. Bruce said he'd love to get Neon Babylon going again, but he was busy with Jive Radio, and he was taking it kind of easy, and he hinted at some health concerns but didn't elaborate. Then in October last year, I called him again when I was doing a story about KTHX changing its format and call letters. On that interview, we talked about everything in the music and radio industries and how it had changed radically since he started his glide across the airwaves. The corporate ownership, the robotic automation that replaced disc jockeys, rise of satellite radio, and the rise of internet stations like Jive Radio. Again, his optimism shined through. In 30 years, there has been radical changes from top to bottom, Bruce told me. Even so, terrestrial radio is never going to go away. It's a perfect thing, a perfect entity. You get in your car, you turn on the radio, you get your favorite station on, and you're driving around town. It's a wonderful thing. Bruce also talked at length about his boyhood in Central California, where DJs like Wolfman Jack sent rock and roll music and pithy comments into the summer air and curved the trajectory of Bruce's life. He said what's going on at Jive Radio harkens back to the old freeform days in the streets and alleys of Reno's Exville. And it was more like what he aspired to as a boy with his ear nestled against the transistor radio. Bruce said, "So here we are, 50 years later, carrying on with Jive Radio, playing our tunes into the night or morning or mid-afternoon, and not just in Central California, but also in the great Desert West and all over the world, thanks to technology that's a lot more powerful than XERB, the Wolfman's mighty Mexican transmitter. We're playing our tunes in the hopes that some 17-year-old boy in Bend or some 17-year-old girl in Dusseldorf hears something on Jive Radio one day that makes him or her say to him or herself, 'Whoa, what the heck was that?' And in some essential, mysterious way, in that very instant, his or her life is changed forever." He no longer had a column, but when KTHX was, as he put it, put to sleep last year, he wrote a pretty long Facebook post. The way he ended that essay also serves as an appropriate epitaph for Bruce himself. "How does that old saying go?" he wrote. "Don't be sad because it's over. Be happy because it happened." Thank you, Bruce.
Now I'd like to introduce you to a fellow who was with us in the very early days of KOZZ. In fact, he took the morning show chair for a while. Ladies and gentlemen, he's been traveling the world ever since then and changing it at the same time. This is Andy Schoen.
All right. Hi. Really an honor to speak here tonight on this occasion. I'm going to tell you a story that when I was thinking about it on the way over here today, it seemed impossible that it was true. My relationship with Bruce started much like most of you in this room, listening to him on the radio as a kid on KOZZ. But I idolized Bruce because I wanted to be him. I wanted to be a morning DJ. And so it started as a relationship as a listener, but then somehow I conned my way into working at KOZZ, and then I was a boy DJ there, and Bruce became a mentor.
Boy DJ for real.
I was 16, I think, at the time. And my parents thought that I was working on the edge of town with a bunch of burnout rock DJs smoking pot.
Yeah!
And they were right. But Bruce treated me like a little brother, as did Steve and the others there, and had all the time in the world for me as a kid and protected me like a big brother would, shielding me from the evils of rock and roll lifestyle.
Some of them.
And so Bruce would have all the time in the world for me to talk about his craft and my desire to build mine and to become like him. Bruce was really an extraordinary mentor to me, and I don't think I ever had the opportunity to really let him know how much he had an impact on me, but he truly did. He liked to call me Android as a play on my name, but also because I was sort of like an alien, this young kid who came up to the radio station. So going forward, Bruce and I would talk a lot about what he did on his show, and it appeared. And what I realized was that Bruce talked to the audience, not at the audience. He had a way of almost putting his arms around us and communicating in a way where he could weave together music and information and humor through his personality, and it just beamed through the radio. And I thought, if I ever had the chance, I would try to do that myself. And as luck would have it, Bruce one day said, I'm tired of the establishment and I'm leaving this station, and they picked me to be his replacement. And it was my first full-time job. And I tried to fill his shoes, but I didn't even come close.
That's
so Bruce,
true.
That's true. He can vouch for me on that. In fact, our station manager heard my show once and then moved me to the afternoon show. But I did get my shot there. And Bruce and I stayed in touch over the years. And when I got to Denver and got my first big break as the program director of one of America's top radio stations, Bruce became my morning guy. I was able to hire him, and he became the morning host and got his big break and became one of the bigger morning personalities in American radio. And we went to Chicago and New York together. We did big radio shows in New York with people like Tom Hanks. And Bruce was at the top of his game. But something wasn't right. That wasn't for him. He was all about right here. He was about Northern Nevada. And the big time wasn't his thing. His thing was Northern Nevada. His thing was coming from someplace in the desert, beaming through the invisible airwaves, his way of communicating with us, whether over the radio or through streaming or a Facebook post. But it was about getting back to here, getting his DNA into his own 24/7 radio station so that he could do things his way. Really, I wanted to come here tonight and say that Bruce came from this little radio station here in Reno with all of us, and he made it kind of all the way to the top. He could do it. He could go all the way, but he wanted to be right here. And I think that's really incredible. So Bruce and I had this relationship that went from idol to mentor to employee. We traveled together. We had this wonderful relationship. Most people don't get to meet their idols. I got to run a couple of laps of life with him, and I'll never forget it, and I'll always be grateful. Thank you, Bruce. Sincerely, Android.
All right, now we reach the announcements phase of our presentation tonight. I won't bore you for too long, but I do want to let you know that there are some very cool things going on. For example, KBVD. You know, Bruce had some great friends, Jeff and Sheila Cotton. They promoted concerts here in Reno at Big Ed's and out at the Rancho, Rancho Nevada. Anybody remember those days? Absolutely, right? Did we see some unbelievable music you couldn't get anywhere else thanks to those people? Well, you know, the last few years of Bruce's life, he was a communicator on Open Sky Radio, and that was K-Jive. And Jeff and Sheila have been doing some great work, and I want to read you what Sheila wrote and sent to me. She said, you know, there's a lot of recordings of Bruce's comments on his morning news from the KTHX days, and they really memorialize his ingenious sense of humor plus his outdated and curated playlist of his bucket, which is all the music that gets on their radio station there, station IDs, etc. It's just really good to hear his voice. So KBVD is the new thing. She says Jeff worked for weeks to put this together, and it's our tribute to our dear friend, our business partner, and voice of reason on the board of directors of Open Sky Radio. It gives us great comfort to be able to carry on his legacy, to give his friends and his fans a way to know that he's still with us in spirit, and to put a smile on every face when they hear that familiar voice come alive. So all you got to do is go to KJive. Well, it's not at KJive. It's jiveradio.org. If you go there and go to the BVD page, you'll find a link to KBVD, where his radio history is there 24 hours a day. Last announcement, second to last announcement, is that we have a proclamation. Today is officially the City of Reno's Bruce Van Dyke Day. Thank you, Mayor Hillary Sheevy. All right, so let me read this to you. From the Office of the Mayor, City of Reno, Nevada, this proclamation, whereas Bruce Van Dyke spent his lifetime curating, sharing, and promoting and advancing this community of arts and culture in our state and in our region, and whereas Bruce Van Dyke created a subculture in our region known widely as the community of Exville, and whereas Bruce Van Dyke shared his love for Nevada, the Great Basin, the Sierra Nevada, as he created countless hours of entertainment, information, and education on the radio, the internet, teaching, music appreciation, and through his unique style of travel and opinion writing, and whereas Bruce Van Dyke spent thousands of hours building support for local nonprofit organizations across the spectrum in our community, and whereas Bruce Van Dyke tirelessly gave to this community as a founder of First Thursday, this event at the Nevada Museum of Art, and whereas Bruce Van Dyke enriched the lives of all who knew him, both personally and as a public figure, now therefore, I, Hillary L. Sheevy, Mayor of the City of Reno, Nevada, do hereby declare December 1st, 2022, Bruce Van Dyke Day. In witness hereof, I have set my hand and caused the seal of the City of Reno, Nevada, to be affixed to this day in December. Bruce would have laughed about all of this stuff and he would have just gone, what a bunch of, anyway. Don't forget, we're downstairs in the third floor in the Founders Room. We've got pictures and articles, and you can tell your story about Bruce on video. Sign the guest book. Write a blessing to be burned out at the temple at Burning Man this summer. We want to just make sure you have the opportunity to say goodbye to this man who was a friend to all of us. Thank you for being here tonight. Thank you for coming to First Thursday. And blessings, Bruce. I know you're here listening. Thank you.
All right. One more time for Bruce Van Dyke, everybody. Hey.